जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hari Naam Sankirtan ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 23 वर्स नंबर 13-18। So we will read the 13 number verse.
Evam sa vira pravaraha samyojayatmanam atmani brahma bhuto dridham kale तत्यज्य स्वयं कलेवरम्। एवं स वीर प्रवरः संयोज्यात्मानम् आत्मनि। ब्रह्म भूत दृढं काले तत्याज स्वं कलेवरम्। एवं स वीर प्रवरः संयोज्यात्मानम् आत्मनि। ब्रह्म भूतो दृढं काले तत्याज स्वं कलेवरम्। संयोज्यात्मानमात्मनि। ब्रह्मभूतो दृढं काले तत्याज स्वं कलेवरम्। एवं स वीर प्रवर संयोज्यात्मानमात्मनि। ब्रह्मभूतो दृढं काले तत्याज स्वं कलेवरम्। एवं स वीर प्रवर संयोज्यात्मानम् आत्मनि। ब्रह्मभूत दृढं काले तत्याज स्वं कलेवरम्। एवं दस सह ही वीर प्रवरः द चीफ ऑफ द हीरोज संयोज्य अप्लाइंग आत्मानम् माइंड आत्मनि अंटू द सुपर सोल। ब्रह्म भूतः बीइंग लिबरेटेड दृढ़म फर्मली काले इन ड्यू कोर्स ऑफ टाइम। तत्याज गेव अप स्वम ओन कलेवरम बॉडी। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: In due course of time, when Prithu Maharaj was to give up his body, he fixed his mind firmly upon the lotus feet of Krishna and thus completely situated on the Brahmabhuta platform, he gave up the material body. Purport: According to a Bengali proverb, whatever spiritual progress one makes in life will be tested at the time of death. In Bhagavad Gita 8.6, it is also confirmed, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante anta kalevaram tam tam eveti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Those who are practicing Krishna consciousness know that their examination will be held at the time of death. If one can remember Krishna at death, he is immediately transferred to Golok Vrindavan or Krishna Lok, and thus his life becomes successful. Prithu Maharaj, by the grace of Krishna, could understand that the end of his life was near, and thus he became very jubilant and proceeded to completely give up his body on the Brahmabhuta stage by practicing the yogic process. It is thoroughly described in the following verses how one can voluntarily give up this body and return home back to Godhead. The yogic process practiced by Prithu Maharaj at the time of death accelerates the giving up of this body while one is in sound health physically and mentally. Every devotee desires to give up the body while it is sound physically and mentally. This desire was also expressed by King Kulashekhar in his Mukundamala Stotra. Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Adyeva Me Vishatu Manasa Rajahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kafavata Pitte Kanthavarodha Vidhau Smaranam Kutastu. King Kulashekhar wanted to give up his body while in a healthy state, and he thus prayed to Krishna to let him die immediately while he was in good health and while his mind was sound. When a man dies, he is generally overpowered by mucus and bile, and thus he chokes. Since it is very difficult to vibrate any sound while choking, it is simply by Krishna's grace that one can chant Hare Krishna at the time of death. However, by situating oneself in the Muktasana position, a yogi can immediately give up his body and go to whatever planet he desires. A perfect yogi can give up his body whenever he desires through the practice of yoga. So we will also read translation from the next four verses. Verse 14, translation. When Maharaj Prithu practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles, pressed his right and left calves, and gradually raised his life air upward, passing it onto the circle of his navel, up to his heart and throat, and finally pushed it upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. Verse number 15. In this way, Prithu Maharaj gradually raised his air of life up to the hole in his skull, whereupon he lost all desire for material existence. Gradually, he merged his air of life with the totality of air, his body with the totality of earth, and the fire within his body with the totality of fire. Verse number 16. In this way, according to the different positions of the various parts of the body, Prithu Maharaj merged the holes of his senses with the sky, his bodily liquids such as blood and various secretions with the totality of water, and he merged earth with water, then water with fire, fire with air, air with sky, and so on. Verse number 17. He amalgamated the mind with the senses and senses with the sense objects, according to their respective positions, and he also amalgamated the material ego with the total material energy, Mahat Tattva. Verse number 18, Prithu Maharaj then offered the total designation of the living entity unto the supreme controller of illusory energy, being released from all the designations by which the living entity became entrapped. He became free by knowledge and renunciation, and then by the spiritual force of his devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up his body as a Prabhu or controller of the senses. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guruho Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So on the verge of Radhashtami, we have this verse which speaks about yoga, and that to the mystic yoga of merging the existence of body with the universal form and going back to Godhead. So Prabhupada gives the devotional translations of many of the things in this, but purely the process as followed by the yogis also has to have some tinge of bhakti in it to be successful. But a pure devotee need not bother with all these things. That's what Prabhupada says. Ultimately, in these verses, he gives the conclusion that in the end, a devotee by the mercy of Lord actually gets a chance to remember him. There is no need for extraneous efforts. So it may be questioned why Prithu Maharaj, who is a Saktyavesh avatar, he himself is practicing this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if during the course of bhakti, you have some previous qualification. So he says that if the siddhi comes to you on its own accord, and it is useful for rendering something in devotional service, it is not a hindrance, it is not a problem. So here it is said that Prithu Maharaj is already trained up in all kind of rituals and Vedic different methods of realizing the Lord. And he knows how to actually give up the body by yogic process. So he is using that method, thinking himself unfit to directly be given mercy by Lord. So he does not think himself as a very big devotee. So he actually takes shelter of yogic process as well. So this is eagerness or desperation of a devotee. So devotee never thinks that he is very elevated, and devotees may try many things which may actually seem to be completely useless or even foolish in trying to reach Krishna. But it is not the foolishness or the right or wrong of the procedure that matters. It is the feeling of desperation with which the person is trying different things that actually attracts Krishna. So somebody may think that maybe Krishna will be more pleased by doing these things, maybe that thing may work. So this is the sign of desperation of a devotee. It does not necessarily mean it has to be completely scriptural. So sometimes the madness of love may take the shape of many weird things, which may not be exactly according to logic. So Prithu Maharaj is taking shelter of a yogic process, which he already has knowledge of. So Prabhupada also says that we can dovetail anything which we know previously, or we have some skill in devotional service. So once Prabhupada's disciples asked him whether they should do a course in drawing arts in order to paint for Krishna. So Prabhupada used to tell them to paint different pictures of Krishna or his Guru Maharaj. So once the disciple asked, so Prabhupada said that there is no need. The course will take 3 to 4 years. And the effort is not worth it, because you may lose the focus. So if you are already trained as an artist, Prabhupada would give the service to that person rather than training a new person in that. So ultimately that is a material art. And if it takes too much of effort, it is categorized as atyahara prayasascha, too much of effort. So you may lose the focus of the bhakti itself. And that's why Prabhupada used to dovetail whatever the disciples already know, rather than asking them to do elaborate courses in Sanskrit or elaborate courses in arts. He said that you draw and cry for Lord to give you the talent to draw him. So that is our process. So our process is of crying. So you cry for the Lord to give his mercy so that you can draw. So that will purify you. So Prabhupada also tells that if it is already there is no harm in using it. But putting too much of effort once you come into devotion, which might actually affect your focus, is not good. So that's why he tells like that. And Prabhupada also writes in this purport one more thing. He says that a devotee is very eager to give up his body when it is physically and mentally fit. So even in this, it is said in Bhagavatam that whatever the state of a devotee, it is said in Bhagavatam 1.18.4, that na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramo antakale api smaratam tat padambujam. So a devotee who has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Supreme Lord is not bewildered or confused at the end of his life. So he will actually ultimately remember of Krishna. And remembrance is what matters. So it is said that antakale cha mameva smaran mukta kaleram. So it says about remembrance. Even if a person does not speak out loudly, the mind is still active. And if it is not bewildered or confused in the end, a person can remember Lord. But still, a devotee, as a precaution, just like here we can see the desperation of Prithu Maharaj. He thinks that he is not fit to receive direct mercy, and so he is using the yogic process also to leave the body. And also it is said that it is also done so as to bewilder the materialist or the impersonalist who actually cannot understand the mercy of Lord. So they also should understand that it is not that the devotees don't know these processes, but it is that the easier process and the most direct process is devotion to Lord. So Prabhupada saying that a person should, a devotee is always eager to leave his body when it is physically and mentally fit. It is just a kind of feeling of desperation of some devotees. So Kulashekhar Maharaj is one of them. So he is a person who actually is on a very high stage of love of God. Kulashekhar Maharaj, though he is a king, he is a Rajarshi. And we can see examples in ISKCON also, just like you can see Jayapataka Maharaj. So Jayapataka Maharaj is trying desperately to maintain his body so that he can serve devotees. So he is not saying that I am suffering, let the Lord take me. So he is saying that till the end I will fight. Just like Prabhupada had that mood, he says that even if I die on a battlefield, that is worth it. So he won't retire so easily. So devotees struggle to remain in this material world. It's not that he's attached to body. He wants to carry on the mission of Lord more and more. So the desperation to live more and more for us is different than a pure devotee. So even if he's suffering mentally, physically, some devotees may not actually try to go back to Godhead. So even if their ticket is already booked and confirmed, so they will not leave. So they want to take as many people as possible along with them. So that is one mood. And another mood is that some person may say that I actually want to leave when I am healthy. So that is also one of the mood, because higher devotee may have direct communion with Krishna. So that is not interpretable by general public. So one acharya may actually want to leave early, and one acharya may say that I want to leave till the end struggling. So both of them cannot be compared. Both of them are equally glorious, and they are pure devotees. So this is purely between them and Krishna. So we cannot understand what mood they have. So it is not comparable in a mundane sense for general people to understand the feelings of a pure devotee. But as a rule, it is better that if you leave when you are healthy and of sound mind, not thinking that you are very pure and you will be helped even if you don't remember Lord in the end, so Lord will take somehow. So we think ourselves very fallen, and we try to do our utmost so that we reach back to Godhead, to Lord Krishna. So that is also one of the aspects of so it is said that ki some people may find it that it is easier to sacrifice one's life for a cause. But it may be more difficult to keep on living despite so many struggles and not giving up life. Somebody may actually want to sacrifice himself, so I can give even life for you. But if a life is full of struggles, it is easier to say that I can give life for this cause. But even in that state, when there is life is full of struggles, if the person says that I want to live for you, so dying for someone is actually inferior than living for someone whom you love. So even if it is full of struggles. So there are different aspects of how to leave this world. For a pure devotee, it is different. For a struggling sadhaka, it is better that you keep on struggling and live for longer. So the struggle in itself will purify. So these are the aspects, the first part of the purport the Prabhupada speaks of. Then after that, the process is described in detail, the yogic process of giving up the material body. So he says that first we have to merge all the senses into one another. So Bhagavad Gita speaks of indriyani parani ahur, indriyabhye paramanah. So that hierarchy is given. Ki beyond the indriya senses, there is a man or mind. Beyond the mind is intelligence. Beyond the intelligence, there is false ego. And ultimately, there is soul. So yogic person goes in a reverse sequence. First of all, he can merge the gross elements. Just like here it is said that a person may actually concentrate on Muladhara Chakra by sitting on Muktasana. Then it comes to navel, then it comes to stomach, then it comes to heart, and then it comes to throat, and then it comes to the between the eyebrows. So between the eyebrows is Agya Chakra. And finally, the life air is actually pushed through the Brahmarandhra, through the skull. And this life air then actually helps to merge all the gross elements, different elements. So it says that the different cavities in your body merge with the ether of the universe. Then different secretions of the body merge with the water component of the universe. The fire of the body merges with the fire of the universe. And the earthly elements merge with the earthly element of the universe. So in that way, he's actually merging the gross body. And the subtle body is merged in the way that it says that the senses are merged into mind. Mind and intelligence go into the ahankar, ahankar into mahatattva, and finally into pradhana, and then the person can go out. So the merging is at two levels. One is gross level, and the second is at subtle level. And this merging is very difficult to understand until unless we practice it. So we don't practice dhyana yoga. So more theoretical understanding is what we can reach. So it is very difficult to understand how the merging takes place. Yet in Bhagavad Gita, there are some clues how the process is done. Even in bhakti, there is some kind of sense control that we do. So in Bhagavad Gita, it is said ki 4.26 says, Shrotrani Indriyani. So it is saying how a celibate brahmachari controls his senses. It is said that Shrotra Adi Indriya. So hearing and other indriyas are controlled, or they are restricted in order to control mind. So anything you control, you have to put some kind of restriction. So just like in a fire, in order to maintain fire, you have to put some fuel in it. So in order to get mind control, you have to put a fuel of control of senses. Okay. And it says for householders, the process is slightly more outwards. It says householders control the sense objects in order to control the senses. So you try to restrict the sense gratification so that the senses gets controlled. In Brahmacharya, you try to restrict what you hear so that the mind gets controlled. So there are some yogic processes in which the pranavayu is getting controlled in order to control mind and intelligence. So it is like you restrict a particular activity, and the thing which is penultimate to it gets controlled. So sense objects are controlled, then the senses will get controlled. If the senses are restricted, mind gets controlled. So this is the way the merging can be understood in bhakti process. Basically, it is controlling something so that the person reaches the another level. So the senses no longer trouble him. So he is gone into mind. So that is the yogic process of merging into one another. And then Prabhupada says about the yogic process that there are different kind of life airs. So life airs, he speaks about that there are 10 kind of life airs. And just like there are 8 chakras, there are 10 life airs. And he lists them. He lists them in details in one of the purports. He says 3.6.9. He speaks there are prana, apana, samana, udana, vyana. These are the 5 major airs, life airs. And there are subtle ones which are called as naga, krikata, kurma, devadatta, and dhananjaya. So these are the 10 life airs which are mentioned by Prabhupada in purports. And he says that every different kind of life has different functions. He says that prana is the one which comes out of our nose. That is pranavayu. He says that apana is one which is released through anus. That is apanavayu, which goes downward. Samana is something which distributes the food, and it comes out as a belching. So that is samanavayu. Udana is something which is called if we choke the throat, the person gets disturbed. So the air passing through the respiratory tract is called as udana. And vyana is distributed throughout the body. That's what Prabhupada says. And there are subtler airs. Then he says that naga is responsible for opening of eyes and mouth. Krikata increases appetite. Kurma helps in contraction of different organs. Devdatta, something which opens the mouth very widely, just like in yawning. And Dhananjaya, he says in sustenance of the whole jiva in the body, sustenance, Dhananjaya is there. So these life airs are mentioned. So there is a process also given in one of the purports of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada speaks of these processes just not in details, but to understand that these are not very devotional things, and they are also very difficult to do. And the way he describes them, it discourages the person to try them. So Prabhupada describes it in such a way that it discourages the person not to follow these kind of things. He says that the way of controlling the life air is that you breathe in an opposite direction. So instead of breathing inside, you breathe out. So continuously, if you try to breathe in the opposite direction, the slowly, slowly the air actually stops in the nostril, and it is called puraka. And he described the complete cessation of the airflow is kumbhaka yoga. And so he gives some different words that the yogis use. So this is called brikiti in yoga. But Prabhupada says that it is very difficult. So in my earlier part of my life, I also tried this yoga and other postures. So it is basically that you have to just concentrate on the chakra. So when you are breathing inward, you concentrate that the chakra is going upwards along the spine. Your consciousness should be that the chakra is going upwards. That should be your meditation while you breathe in. And when you breathe out, you should concentrate on the chakras which are going downwards. So that controls mind, because you are actually conscious of your mind. At the same time, you are thinking about chakras. So no other thought enters into your consciousness while doing that. So if you do it, you will also understand that the mind control is very easy. If you give some activity to mind to concentrate on, here it is concentrating on chakras. And at the same time, you are concentrating on taking inside air when you are concentrating on the chakras going up. And when you are exhaling out, it is going down. So the mind gets controlled if you practice it. So I used to practice for 2 hours. So these kind of yoga procedures actually give some benefit. You will get peace and the mind gets controlled. But it does not have the ananda, because the procedure in itself is very difficult to do. It takes very long time. It's some kind of austerity, though it gives peace. But there is no relation with a living being. So there is no rasa in that. And that's why it is not very sustainable in the long run. So that's why the procedure is just mentioned for, just like Nimai Lila Prabhu last lecture, he said that demystifying something is one of the ways to actually avoid attachment and aversion to something. So our attachment or aversion to something is that if I tell you something which is very difficult to understand, you may reject it as ye kisi kaam ka nahi hai. Actually, it is just fake thing. That is one of the things a person may do. He may go into denial that these yogic procedures don't work. This is actually all fake. And another way is that you may become attached. You may become so mesmerized with the explanation of yogic process that you may want to try it. So that is another side of attachment. So either you get aversion or you get mesmerized by something. Both are not actually acceptable in devotion. So you just demystify the thing. You just tell sufficient understanding of that particular thing so that your curiosity is gone. So you are not too curious about this. So mereko pata hai, wo kya rehta hai. And at the same time, you also understand that it is not a fake thing. So you are not in aversion. वो सब झूठ रहता है, सब बाबा फालतू कर रहे हैं. So you don't go into denial as well as you do not become overly attached to those things. So one of the aims of explaining these things, just like even when Sukhdev Goswami is speaking, Sukhdev Goswami actually speaks of many things. He tells that how there is a different way of going Krama Mukti, Shushumara path of going to Brahman platform. So he tells how there is a something called as meditating on the Vishwarup. The Vishwarup meditation is also explained by Sukhdev Goswami. So there the acharyas say that Sukhdev Goswami is actually referring to an audience which is mixed. So there are so many people who are impersonalist. So Brahmavadis are there, some are devotees, some are confused. So Sukhdev Goswami is actually telling that I have already done all these things. So he's telling them in very great details what is Shishumara meditation, what will happen if you go through this path, and what will happen if you go to other path. So he's telling very detailed things of something. And so that the people sitting in audience also understand that he knows. He's not just speaking because he does not know our path. So he tells them all the details of their path, and then he says that this is not actually very important. So that has a more impact. Rather than you saying that this is not useful, but he asks you something about it, you say that actually I have never understood or I have never known it. So Prabhupada also challenged once. So he was telling the hippies, he was lecturing the hippies in New York, and he was saying that by this meditation, by this Hare Krishna chanting Sankirtan, you get a bliss which is greater than even the LSD. So somebody who is sitting in the audience, he says, have you ever taken it, LSD? So Prabhupada says that I have not taken, but my disciples have taken. You can ask them. They have left everything and they're finding bliss in Sankirtan. So Prabhupada is intelligent in every aspect. So he says that it is not necessary to try something out in order to be able to understand that it is inferior. So he is giving the example. So we can also give example that Sukhdev Goswami is somebody who is fixed to Brahman platform. So he is mentioned as Atmarama from birth itself. So even Atmaram person gets attracted to the shlokas in Bhagavatam. And he actually becomes attached to Lord and reciting the Bhagavatam. He comes back to Vyasa and hears Bhagavatam from him. So we can give example of these kind of great personalities from Bhagavatam and tell, see, these are not ordinary people. These are Atmaramas. So they have reached the highest stage that you are trying to get through yoga. And Sukhdev Goswami is somebody who is already attained at Atmaram stage from birth itself. And he is also getting attracted to the pastimes of Lord. So this kind of explanations are so that we become mature in the path. We should not superficially or blindly actually become attached. It is said that philosophy and religion, Prabhupada says. So religion without philosophy is more like fanaticism or sentimentalism. And philosophy without religion is speculation. So both aspects should be cultivated. We should also have some knowledge. And at the same time, faith is there. Somebody may have faith which is inherent because of his past, whatever progress he has done in the previous lives. A person may have faith and he need not understand many things. Even if he is asked many things which he does not know, the faith is not shaken. But Prabhupada says that a faith which is not shaken, but at the same time the person is not in scriptural knowledge. And that is a sign of Madhyam Adhikari. So the faith can be divided into Kanishta, Madhyam and Uttam. So he says that Madhyam faith, a person may have very strong faith and he cannot be shaken easily, but he does not have scriptural authority that he can refute the other person or make the other person convince. And Kanishta faith is somebody who has very flimsy faith and he also does not have scriptural understanding. And the highest of the Prabhupada says that he has unshakable faith, but he can also give that faith to others. by scriptural authority and explanation, he can even convince the other person. So that is uttama faith. So the only thing, so faith is received by adoshaddha, sadhu sangha, bhajan kriya. So faith you can cultivate by being in association of devotees. But as a sadhana, it is good that we read scriptures. So scripture is a missing point from a madhyam faith and a kanishta faith. So scriptural understanding, if it is done, that is in our hands. Even though the faith may increase by the mercy of a devotee, but our effort should be that we should also be able to back it up with scriptural evidence. So that is our austerity, to read scriptures and to explain different contradictory point of views. So that is austerity from a point of view of a sadhaka. Hare Krishna. So anybody has any questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.